text was verse 24 of the letter of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no better way to end the year than with the word of the Spirit in our lap and the Spirit of the Word in our hearts, and to do this in the assembly of the saints. It's good to be together and to be quiet for these few moments in the presence of the Lord. Tonight we leave this old year behind and enter a new year of our Lord. Moments like these are special to us, and rightly so. The clock ticks on and we must know where we are at. Times get shorter and we must make the most of what is left. We end the year with the book of Jude. We could do a lot worse. Jude helps focus our hearts on matters that count for tonight and for all time. Jude lived in uncertain and even scary times, and so do we. We need the reminder that in such dangerous times, we have a sure and safe hiding place. God is close by, and he is able to keep you from falling, says Jude. He can and will protect us in perilous times. And he will not only keep us for now, he will keep us forever. Can any of us fathom this? As we anticipate a new year, Jude assures us that God will someday present us before his glorious presence without fault. You are destined for glory. Preserve today from every danger, and tomorrow you will be presented without any blemish and faultless before the presence of the Lord. It seems incredible, but it is God's wondrous promise. We are not surprised that Jude ends his epistle on a very high note. Let's call it the doxology. When you remember these three factors, the dangers that surround us, the preservation of the saints, and our eternal presentation to God in glory, then the doxology is understandable. This evening, let us join in ascribing praise to God. To the only God and our Saviour be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Jude reminds us that God is worthy of praise long before the 21st century ever started. In fact, long before any century started. Before all ages, Jude writes, all praise be to God from all eternity. And also now, today, Jude says, for him and his first readers, that was between 65 and 70 AD. And it applies equally to every successive generation, ours as well. God's word always has a contemporaneous ring about it. We can always take it to heart. And tonight, we can sing God's praises, no less. But this doxology goes on and on. God will always be worthy of our praise. To God be the glory forever and ever, Jude says. And so, on this high doxological note, we see out the old year and welcome in the new. The words of our text are found in verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Our theme for this message is kept now and forever. And we will first note the problems that surround, then the preservation by God, and finally our presentation in glory. Just a word about the author and how he sees his original audience. The author of this epistle introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. This is rather interesting. Jude doesn't mention the fact that he is a brother of Jesus as well. What really matters to him is that we see him as a servant of Jesus Christ, even though he had the same mother as our Lord. This spiritual connection to Christ takes all precedence. Is there for any of us a better designation than servant of Jesus Christ? You cannot serve two masters. Which master is it for you, for me, this evening? Jude addresses those who are called and kept. Here is a beautiful description of the saints in his day and also in ours. You are the called and the kept. Our life, our real life, began with our calling from God. He has called all of us to walk in his ways and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we have come has not been painless or without pitfalls, but our way has its origin in the call from the Lord. But Jude reminds us not only that we are called and beloved in God the Father, but we are kept by the power of God. And that's the single thought we leave you with this evening, kept now and forever. This sounds so much like Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. So our first point then is the problems that surround. God never promised any one of us an easy trek into the kingdom. When Jude uses the word keep to him who is able to keep you, Jude reflects on the dangers that surround the believer. We live under threat constantly. The church always lives in perilous times. The powers of darkness always surround. Sin ever lurks at the door. We must do constant battle with the enemy that is within the gate, even our own flesh. The world is alluring and enticing and seductive. And to top it all off, Satan still goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Every saint is to the devil so devourable. So what else is new? Every believer is on the endangered species list. Never take your membership in the Church Universal for granted. It was purchased at a great cost and can only be defended and maintained at great cost. The church is always one generation away from its grave. All of us must be alert to these crisis times. How easily we can lose our first love. We never lose our faith overnight. It just slips quietly away, almost without our notice. The fact that you are here this evening is proof that it is not too late for any one of us to come to our spiritual senses. Our enthusiasm can be revived. Our commitment deepened even this very night. We only need the slightest touch of the Master's hand, just an urging from the Holy Spirit is enough to rekindle those dying embers into a flame and enable us again to say, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us in church, when he gave to us the scriptures? A crisis arose in the early church. This may surprise us when we remember that the early church lived so close to Calvary and to Easter and to Pentecost. These earth-shaking realities happened only about 30 years before Jude wrote this epistle. The attack upon the church then was two-pronged. It involved the teachings and it involved the living. These two always go hand in hand. Corrupt and false teaching leads to sinful behavior. Bad teaching produces bad living. Heresy and immorality go together. Jude wanted to write a different kind of letter. He had planned to write about our common salvation, according to verse 3. But he had to change his plans. We have all experienced this. Mum plans to clean the house, and Freddie falls off the chair, and both wind up in the emergency room of the hospital all morning. And so it goes. Jude knew all about scrapped plans. Instead of writing about salvation, he pens this letter to alert his readers to the perils that surround them. A few people got a foothold in the church. They gained admission secretly and gradually got into prominent posts where they could influence others and not for the good. They began to attack the faith, said Jude. Perhaps we must distinguish here between two kinds of faith, or two aspects of faith. First of all, we speak about our faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. That's faith in the subjective sense. That's faith seen as our personal trust in Christ. The Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." This is personal faith. And every one of us is called again this evening to believe in the Lord and surrender our hearts to him. When Jude uses the word faith, he means it in a different sense. Not faith as our personal believing in Christ, but faith seen as an objective deposit of truth. Faith seen as a fixed set of teachings. The body of truth we believe is also known as the faith. Faith in this sense means the beliefs we hold to be true. We even speak of the Christian faith, not that we believe, but rather what we believe. Jude refers to the what, the content of our faith. He urges us to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith we must defend at all costs. We cannot allow anyone to add any water to this wine. We cannot allow any church or any preacher or any theologian to dilute this faith in any way. Who these heretics were or how they changed the faith, we do not know. But this false teaching led to all kinds of unbiblical conduct. Bad instruction leads to bad conduct. Jude describes these people rather graphically. They perverted their faith. They defiled the flesh. They rejected lawful authority. They were blemishes upon their love feasts. They were waterless clouds and fruitless trees. They were wild waves of the sea and wandering stars far off course. They were ungodly people who committed ungodly deeds in an ungodly way. They were malcontents, grumblers, loud-mouthed boasters, scoffers, worldly, divisive, people devoid of the Holy Spirit. Does this sound like anybody you know? Have not we been like some of this, at least some of the time this past year? Is this not our opportunity to pray, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner"? God is more eager to forgive us our sins than we are to ask him. Today, we are surrounded by do-it-yourself religions and by people who deny the Christian faith. These denials are practiced before our very eyes and ears. We must be alert to the dangers that surround us also tonight. These are scary times, and the devil lurks in unsuspecting places. How he would love to lull us to sleep also tonight. On the backdrop of this rather dismal picture, Jude goes on to anchor the endangered saints in the keeping power of God. And that's our second point, the preservation by God. It is really neat how Jude dovetails the perseverance of the saints with the preservation of the saints. We have something to do, and God has something to do. These two are mutually interdependent. Who hasn't heard the saying, "God helps those who help themselves"? God's preserving us and our persevering in the faith are like hand and glove. Jude tells us to remember what the apostles wrote about scoffers coming in the last days. By last days, the New Testament means all the days from the ascension of Christ into heaven to his return to earth at the end of the age. This entire time span is known in the Bible as the last days. These are the days for us to remember our past, remember your heritage, remember all the ways that the Lord has led you, also with the help of the apostles. Recall what you have been taught by your parents and elders and teachers and pastors. And now we must build on those foundations. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith, says Jude. Take time to delve into the scriptures. Keep studying the word of God. And if you don't have a plan, adopt one. Make a new beginning on the eve of this new year. Be part of a small Bible study circle. This will enable you to help others grow. Never be satisfied with what you know. You have only begun. Keep learning and keep reading and studying the Word. And pray in the Spirit, says Jude. One of God's ways to keep us is through prayer. We leave this old year in the posture of prayer, and we greet the new year in the spirit of prayer. We acknowledge our deep dependence upon God for all things. He alone can supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So let us pray in the Spirit, guided by the word of the Spirit, given us in Holy Scripture. People who pray in the Spirit must be people of the book. And keep yourselves in the love of God. God keeps us, and we also have some keeping to do, says Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Nothing in this past year has separated you from God's love. Nothing in this new year of our Lord can separate you from the love of God. Remember that. Be comforted by it. Have no anxiety about anything. The peace of God will guard your hearts in Christ, and you must keep yourselves in the love of God and wait for the mercy of Christ to be revealed. We have all experienced this mercy, but there is so much more mercy still to come, and this mercy is to be shown and shared. We still have time to witness. God gives us a new year to reach out and touch somebody. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Time for a neighbor to be snatched from the fire, says Jude. This is no time to dally or delay. We are on a search and rescue mission. Yes, we have so much to do. And let us all remember that God is able to keep you from falling. Here, Jude focuses on the keeping power of God. He preserves you. He keeps you from falling. Jude uses a very strong word for keep. God stations guards all about us. A security van drives up to a bank to pick up or deliver cash, and trained guards make the delivery, and they are alert to any possible robbery attempts. The van is modified to withstand attack. God guards you and me like that. His guarding, keeping power is ever present and awesome. Let's remember his keeping power as we enter a new year. He has not failed us in the past. He will be a faithful guide even unto death, and through death unto life that is forever. Jude does not say that God will keep you from falling. He says God is able to keep you from falling. And there is a difference. We have stumbled and fallen, and this is par for the course. We cannot blame our falls on God. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. When we fall, it is always our own fault. Let's never blame God. But we do confess that God is able to keep us from falling, even from stumbling. He is able. He is able. So amazing is his grace. So in the context of danger and even of peril, you and I are surrounded by God our keeper. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our third point is your presentation in glory. God not only preserves us now, tonight, he will keep on preserving us tomorrow and into all the tomorrows that are to come. Forever is the word, and who among us here can begin to fathom what forever means? It's far beyond our comprehension. There are no words in the English language, or in any language for that matter, to tell us what is in store for the people of God. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Someday, and it is probably sooner than we think, God will present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Our rejoicing may begin now, in this life, and this rejoicing will continue into all eternity. Paul tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. When you are in Christ, you become a new person, and this newness goes on and on. There is no stopping. The good work that God has begun in you, he will bring to completion at the day of his coming. It is one thing for God to guard us in the here and now. We need that guarding. But what Jude assures us of is not only a present guarding, but a future glory. God guarantees that a present guarding will bring us into a future glory. You and I will someday be presented before his glorious presence without fault. We will be blameless and perfect at long last. When you look in the mirror, and when we all remember where we have been and how we are in our hearts, then it is a wonder of his grace tonight that we may rest assured in God's omnipotent promise, grace now and glory tomorrow. None of us can predict what a day will bring forth. How worthless to gaze into the crystal ball. We are on the cusp of a new year. Will we get to see the year 2021? Who knows? Not even the angels in heaven know the day of Christ's coming. What we do know is this, that God will present us someday without spot or blemish or any such thing. We will be perfect in him. And tonight, we are closer to our presentation than before. We have never been this close. Perhaps we need again the reminder of our Lord. I come quickly. He said that some 2,000 years ago. And if that was true then, it is even truer now. He hasn't changed his mind. His return looms on the horizon. Are we all getting ready for his coming? That day may seem a long way off. We have so much planned, and we have so much to do first. Will you and I be ready when the Son of Man returns? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in this church? Be ready, for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man comes. God is going by his own divine timetable, not by ours. He is building for eternity. 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day. As Christ came in the fullness of time, so he will return in the fullness of time. It is great fun as children or with children to play hide and seek. After counting up to 10, we yell, "Ready or not, here I come." Well, Christ is coming back soon now, ready or not. It's time for us to make sure we have enough oil in our lamps. No one wants to run out at the critical hour. That hour can be any hour of this new year. Let's keep alert to the surrounding dangers and rest tonight in the powerful word of God that he is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. You are kept now, tonight, and forever. No wonder we can look back and look ahead with our heads held high, with our spirits soaring, filled with this doxology: to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Shall we pray? We thank and praise you, O God, our God and Father, for the reminders tonight that we and our children are yours forever. Nothing comforts us more than to know we belong to you in life and in death. And as this year concludes and a new one begins, we pray that you would impress that even more richly upon our hearts. Fill us ever more with your Spirit, and may we find all our rest tonight and always in your Son, our Saviour. Amen.